Wow, huh? That choir. Sometimes, a lot of times, they bless me and amaze me. God is great God, isn't he? Really? Truly? God is so perfect, so beautiful. I was awake Monday. I went to a pastor's retreat on Monday and Tuesday and came back Wednesday. It was in Gettysburg. It's in a very nice hotel. I'm not used to that. I'm used to the Motel 6, and this was in the Hotel Gettysburg, really nice. But the only problem was it was so expensive, we had to share rooms with other people. Now, Dwight and Mike talked about sharing a bed. I didn't share a bed, but I shared a room with a guy who really knew how to snore. I mean, honest, before God, I lie not. I didn't get to sleep till about 5 o'clock in the morning and got back up at 6:30. This guy could really snore. And I just laid there. And the whole time I'm laying there, I'm both angry and somehow thinking about God and thinking how blessed that I have been. And in spite of not sleeping, how blessed that I have been, and how good God is, how good the Lord is. I mean, and I was thinking about how beautiful Jesus is. How beautiful. His face, his life, his presence is so beautiful. And the reason why I was sitting and thinking is that I, on the way up to the room that night, there was another group. There was many groups, by the way. This hotel sponsored, they probably had at least 5 different conferences and business meetings, and people were from everywhere. In fact, they were from all over the country. They came in for this plastics thing and all these people. And as they don't come in, you know, when they hold a seminar, when they hold a gathering, it includes everything. And the one, there was 3 people I was on this elevator with, and when the door stopped, this lady fell out the door, and she said, "I guess I had too much to drink." And I didn't, that's none of my beeswax. And so, but I was thinking about what revs people's engines, what really excites people. And I thought about the word desire. What do we desire in this world, right? What do we desire? Because what you desire has everything to do with who you are, what you desire. And I was thinking about that word desire, and I just came up with 3 simple points, but I would like to start with understanding that God desires us to desire him. More than anything else in this world, God wants us to desire him. Is that what we desire? Do we desire Him more than anything? I mean, we desire a lot of things, don't we? And I'd be the first to admit that I'm far from, I desire junk, and I call it junk because that's exactly what it is. It's just junk. No matter how nice it is, it's just nice junk. Or nicer junk. But it's all junk. You say, why is it all junk? Because it's all headed to the junkyard eventually. You know, 100 years, I got news for you. Chances are your house may not be here in 100 years. I know my car won't be here in 100 years. You know how I like cars. I love cars. But what do we desire more than anything? More than even our spouses? How about this one? More than our children, what do we desire? God wants us to desire Him more than anyone. I mean, Jesus said that unless you love me more than your mother, your father, your wife, your husband, unless you love me more than your children and your own life, you can't be my disciple. See, we have to understand that God desires us to desire Him. And do you desire Him? To love Him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Do you desire Him? And I say these questions because it doesn't matter what kind of church you belong to. It matters only that you desire Him. And then all the rest will be taken care of. I want to look together Matthew 13 to start with. And my time's already largely spent. But we'll keep going. Matthew 13, this parable Jesus gives in verse 44. Matthew 13, 44. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us today. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found. And he hid it again. And for joy over it, that treasure, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price. This is a pearl merchant. He went and sold all the other pearls that he had and all his house, his possessions. And what did he buy? The one pearl. A man found a treasure, stumbled upon a treasure in a field, and he opens it up and he says, wow, this is unbelievable. So he quick, and he digs a fresh hole in a different place, and he buries the treasure back, and he went and he sells everything he has, right? Think about that, Dave. Think about that, Roy, Ben, Denny, and Linda and you ladies. Think about it. He sees the immense value of this treasure, of this one pearl, and he says, it's nothing compared to all this junk that I have. And he went and bought the pearl, sold everything he had, bought the pearl, bought the land to get the treasure chest. Now you say, you know what that means. That means that Christ is more valuable to you than everything. Now, my question is, do you desire him? Do you understand how valuable he is to you, and that he's worth more to you than everything in this world? What is it going to profit you if you gain the whole world, but you forfeit your soul? And he's talking about Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and your everything. You see, Jesus Christ is your house. Jesus Christ is the provider of all you have. And if you have him, you have everything he has. Everything he has is yours. And the kingdom, and eternal life, and eternal joy, and an eternal gratitude that will overwhelm your heart. And what I'm trying to say is that, do we desire him? Or we desire football. I like football. I used to like it more. But the Colts suck. They just suck. My Pirates. Oh, my word. Bury my head. My Pirates. I used to like baseball. But what does it matter? We'll spend more money on the cable than we will on God's kingdom. Can I hear an amen? We'll spend more money on going out to dinner. And we'll give God, you know, $5. That's how much we desire him. I don't want to be negative. I want us to see the positive. And to see. And an example of this is that he's willing to sell everything he has and willing to sell everything he is. And I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. To see an example of what I'm talking about, or what, I shouldn't say what I'm talking, what Jesus is talking about. Paul writes in Philippians 3, beginning in verse 4, though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone thinks he has confidence in the flesh, I more so, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel. I am of the roots of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrew parents. Concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. In other words, Paul had a lot of pedigree. I mean, I'm trying to think of somebody who has pedigree. Prince William, he has pedigree. Howard Hughes, he's gone. Idiot. Most unusual person. Warren Buffett. You know, the stock. How would you like to be the stock of Warren Buffett? You know? He had a lot of human boasting. And yet, he said this. In verse 7, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yes, indeed, I count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. And of course, rubbish, you know, you can go out in the, if you want to, you can go out in the trash can and get rubbish. Your house. Go out in the trash can and get your house. Go out in the trash can and get your PhD out. See, all of those things next to the pearl of great price is insignificant. And I remember one time a pastor friend of mine was telling me about a guy who was a gambler, and he couldn't stop gambling. And he couldn't quit. And because he couldn't quit, he couldn't ask Christ to be his Savior, he felt. Because, and of course we tried to explain to him, this guy tried to explain to him that Christ can deliver you. But you know, there's a lot of people who are not in church today because they're holding on to something that they won't let go of. They're not willing to let go of it. Paul was willing to let go of anything that would hinder him knowing Christ and pleasing Christ. And that could be a lot of things to all of us, different things to all of us. Am I willing to see Christ, to desire Christ more than I desire and live for and seek after the things of this world? The relationships I want to hold on to. And by the way, Paul lost all the relationships he had. Do you know that? Paul would have lost all the relationship. He'd have lost all the bridge building that he had made in his whole life. They'd have turned their back on him so quick. He lost it all. The friends that we used to have, you know, the people I used to do dope with and that stuff. And I could go on and on, but I had to leave that. I had, because it was not going to please Christ. But I desired Christ more than all of these. And you say, well, then you're getting saved by works. And I'm saying, no. I'm responding to grace. And I just want to do what God, I'm responding to God's great love, that he could love me so much. I'm responding that one day I found life. Why would I want to go back to the emptiness of my past? Why would I want to go back to that? And so, do you desire Christ? I got to keep moving. Secondly, do you desire wisdom, God's word? Look at it with me to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Do you desire the Bible and the wisdom of the Bible? Proverbs chapter 3. And verse 15. Verse 13. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds, that is wisdom's proceeds, understanding's proceeds, are better than the profits of silver. By the way, silver is a pretty strong commodity right now. But there's something better than silver. God's wisdom. You know, I'm talking to friends and we're thinking about how that there's a strong possibility that things are going to crash. You know that, don't you? We don't know when. We just know that one day, I have a picture years ago. I can't find it on PowerPoint. Maybe I could. It's the wolf. And here's the piggies, the three little pigs, and they built their house out of credit cards. And the wolf said, the caption was, boy, it won't take much to blow this house down. This whole country, much of the junk that we have is on credit cards. I mean, that's pretty, I won't go there. But my point is, here he says, I didn't get my point. Verse 14, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. Think about that, pure gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that you may desire cannot compare to her. My question is, do you desire God's word more than all than money? How valuable. And this is I'm not here to throw stones at anybody. I'm here to encourage you to see that the words of God will give you wisdom, will give you understanding, and will make you spiritually richer than Warren Buffett. All the things Warren Buffett, all the things that, whatever that guy that used to own Microsoft, all the, it doesn't matter. If you have this book in your heart and it's wisdom, and you say, I see it, it pays to not do things. It pays to not run with a crowd that's going to take me down a road of hurt. I see it, and I won't walk down that path. I see it. You understand the value of this book? I see that coming to hear God's word is important to my soul, and I see that it's more important to me than fishing on Sunday morning. I see it. I see that God's word is more important to me than the food I eat. I see it. Where did I learn to see it? From here, right from this book. This book, do you desire this book more than your job? More than your salary? I'm just saying that this book is the greatest book in all the universe. The Word of God in your life is so, it changes everything the way you see it. You will see life differently. You'll see what you're living for differently. All these kids, I just love these kids. But this Bible is so valuable to you. You say, well, I don't understand it. And I can only say, get a Bible you understand. Come to youth group and come to church and be taught and read it. You know, I've told you the true story of when I got saved, and I probably had at the most a fourth or fifth grade reading ability. I could read it, but I couldn't understand it. But I just kept reading it. And I kept praying, God, help me to understand it. And he will. Don't give up. But this book is more to be desired than the whole world. You're a rich person if you have a Bible and read it. Meditate in it. Its value to your precious life is it's insurmountable. It is so unbelievably valuable to you and me. God's word. And if you are a new Christian, as a newborn babe, desire the milk of the word that you might grow thereby. How much does a baby desire milk? I mean, they scream, they kick, they want milk. Desire this word And if you need some help, don't ever be afraid to ask. I will even take interest in, other people would take interest in discipling you and helping you to grow to understand the Word. Desire God's Word above all other earthly things, people. Young people, please desire God, obey God's word more than the friends that are smoking marijuana or taking pills or smoking cigarettes. Or and let me really, really get, because the thing that I fear the future of this younger generation. Here's why. They're so saturated with liberal thinking that's against God's word that they've bought the lie of the world in so many areas that go against God's word. They've bought the lies. They've been educated over and over and over and over again in the school system. All their friends. I mean, if you would take a poll of the public schools or colleges, especially colleges, how many of you believe that abortion's wrong? I'll bet you'd have one in 25, maybe one in 100 college students. Why do you think they're flocking to the Democratic Party? Forgive me, Democrats. Republicans have other weaknesses, by the way. Whole another ball game there. I don't think politics is not my thing here this year. But you know what I fear? We have a whole generation that's bought the lie that homosexual marriage is of God. And I'm telling you, I weep because our younger generation is being lost to the church, the Bible church, to the Bible church. And I'm not talking about Baptist. Any evangelical church that will honor God's word, they're being lost to those churches. And that's why there are so many churches. And I don't know if you saw or heard that a well-known mainline denomination that we would all love is on the precipice of giving in to homosexual marriage. And it's all because the younger millennial generation does not love God's word and hold to God's word more than the world's pressure. And they're blinded. It's not that they're just blinded to it. They're blinded to it. They're blinded. But when you have the Word of God, you're not blind. And I want to beg you, young people, to please, don't be afraid if you stand alone. Don't be afraid if you stand alone in the kids. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid if you stand alone and the only person with you is God. Don't be afraid. Just lovingly stand and say, here I stand and I love you, but I don't believe that. I mean, it's just common sense to me, but common sense is gone, long gone. And thirdly, the text that, there's so much more there, but desire God's wisdom in his word above all earthly things, people, popularity, all money. Don't sell your soul for money. I could say so much more. Number three and lastly, desire God's presence every day in your life, desire God, desire Jesus. In Psalm 27, verse 4, Psalm 27, verse 4. David writes, and he's talking about going to God and finding safety from his many enemies. But he says, one thing I desire. One thing I desire. Think of this. One thing I desire. And then he says, that will I seek after. This is what I'm going after, that I may dwell in the presence of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And it's literally in his tabernacle. He's saying that there's one thing that's important to your life. One thing, guys. One thing. One thing. One thing. One thing. That I beg you, and that is to every day go into God's presence. And just look on him. Look on Jesus. Look on how great God is. Look on how great God is. Look on how beautiful. I mean, is there anybody ever walked the face of this earth more beautiful than Jesus Christ? How beautiful Jesus is, who we get to his spirit and to live like him, go into his presence. One thing I've desired, and that will I seek. That I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Now, he's not talking about this building. He's talking about his heavenly temple, I believe, where we have access to him and to look on him in his beauty every day and to see God by faith. I don't know if you remember, Moses went up on the mountain in the Old Testament, and he received the instruction for building the tabernacle. But when Moses came down the second time, the people couldn't look on him because his face glowed with a bright light, and it was too bright. You ever have a light that's too bright, and you, these flashlights today, they're so bright, I can't look. Moses' face shined with the brightness of God's glory, the beauty of God. And so he had to put a veil on his face. Remember that? He put a covering over his face so that and then he would give the instructions. But the real reason why he did that wasn't that people couldn't look on his face. I think he probably would have rather walked around and said, whoa, look at me. My face shines with God. Look at me. My face shines with God. But you know why he put the veil? Somebody tell me why he took it off. Or he put it on.
They wouldn't see his face.
It would gradually fade. And then he'd have to go into the tabernacle, be with God, and his face would shine again. And then after a while, it would fade. And he'd have to go in and get it again. It's kind of like going to the tanning salon, I guess. Except it was God's glory reflecting on him from his presence and time with God. One thing have I desired, I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. Listen, Jesus is so beautiful. If you miss Jesus for something in this world that's distracting you from him, you're missing it. You're missing beautiful, true beauty. And you're choosing something that's going to fade. It will never bring you lasting happiness. And one day we'll shine and be like him. One day we'll be perfectly like him and we'll look like him, for we'll see him as he is. There's a song, and I'd like to sing it as we close here. Noah, Randy, if you'd pull that song up. It's a beautiful song, and I hope that you'll sing it with me. It's called I Desire Jesus, and if you would stand with me and sing this song, maybe turn the lights down. Let's sing this beautiful song in closing. A little bit more, less lights.
I desire Jesus, precious Lamb who ransomed me.
Turn it down just a little bit.
Upon the cross he took my sin. By his blood he set me free. I desire Jesus, oh, his name my soul esteem. For upon his thorn-scarred brow is the crown of victory. He is worthy of all honor, all glory to his name. He alone deserves my highest praise, and forever he will reign.
I desire Jesus, triumphant one, the earth awaits.
Amen.
Think about Jesus in his glory. Think about the Father in his beauty.
Every day, the highest privilege that we have and every person on the face of this earth can do is come into your presence to look upon your beauty and to ask you for your guidance. And Lord, to desire your word more than gold, fine, pure gold. Your word more than silver. Your word more than rubies. And Lord, to desire you as our Savior, no matter what we may have to leave behind, you're worth it. You are so worth everything, as hard and painful as it is to say goodbye to so many people. Things we enjoy that might be before you. God, please help us to desire you more. Change our lives to that end. And Lord, if there's one here that's not ever trusted you, Christ, and found in you the pearl of great price that was worth everything to their soul, I pray that you would continue to draw them to your salvation. And even today, they might ask someone how to be saved from their sin in this world. Jesus, your name. Amen.